Thank you very much. It's certainly a pleasure to be here. I was told that this is a Sichas Lot, and the theme has been various aspects of Tefillah, and that many of you are also learning part of Maseches Brachos in the afternoon as well. So let me try to tie some of those themes together. When you look at the Mishnah, in the beginning of Maseches Avos, there we are told, in the name of Shimon HaTzadik, that the world rests on three pillars, as you know, on Torah, Avodah, U'Gemilas Chasadim. And I would raise a very simple question: what exactly is the source of that memra of Shimon HaTzadik? It resonates, it seems clear, it seems reasonable that that is true, but you know, every such chiddush must have a makar. What exactly is the source of the primacy of Torah Avoda and Gemilus Chasadim? And I would suggest it's based on perhaps somewhat of an unusual makar. You know, the world at large, it's hard to assess what exactly are the pillars of the world. But we are zoche that we are privileged to learn about a Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash, in a very real sense, is an olam ma'at. It's a microcosm. What is true in the Mikdash is true of the entire world. And I don't think that's at all coincidental. After all, Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a world for us to be able to live, for us to be able to reside. And we are obligated to build a Mishkan, a Mikdash, a Beis Hashem, because Vasli Mikdash v'shachanti v'zalchach. Let's join and what exactly is the makar? So the suggestion is it's based on Binyan HaMikdash and Binyan HaMishkan. After all, that for us, a Mikdash, a Mishkan is considered to be a microcosm, an olam ma'at. What is true of the Mishkan is true of the entire world. Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a world for us to live, and we have a mitzvah vosli mikdash v'shachanti v'seucham. And therefore we create kaviyachol, a Beis Hashem, a Beis Hashchina, the Chiddush that the Ramban writes, the beginning of Parshas Truma, in order kaviyachol to house HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever is true of Mishkan and Mikdash should be true of the entire world. And I have to ask you, what exactly is the role of the Kelim, all of the Kelim that one finds in the Mikdash Hashem? I will tell you, no, they divide into three various components. You have, for example, the Mizbechos, the outer Mizbeach, the inner Mizbeach. The purpose of the Mizbeach is Avoda. Avodas HaKarbanos, Avodas HaKtores. A person who offers a Karban will do so Agabe HaMizbeach. And no doubt that the Mizbeach represents the Amud of Avoda. When it comes, for example, to the role of the Shulchan, there is a Ramban, the very beginning of Parshas Truma, but that represents the Midah of Gemilus Chasadim. In what sense is that true? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains us. He provides us with all of our needs. B'chein, the Chesed, of Rachamim. As we recite in Birchas HaMazon, what exactly is the source of the sustenance of the entire world? Ramban writes, it's the Lechem HaPanim that is on the Shulchan. You have a Shulchan Mali, a Shulchan Aruch, a set table, and that serves as the bracha through which the entire world is sustained. It's not coincidental that the Shulchan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shulchan HaMikdash, therefore our Shulchan replicates that Shulchan. You know, when a person benches, you're never allowed to bench an absurd kanyan, an empty table. You're always supposed to have lechem, which is left on the Shulchan, because after all, a Shulchan HaMikdash can never remain empty at all. There's an amazing comment of the Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi writes, let's assume, for example, if Shabbos has come, you know, on Shabbos they would remove the old lechem upon him, they would put the new lechem upon him. Let's say, for whatever unusual reason, there is no new lechem upon him. Even though there's a mitzvah of removal of lechem upon him, offering the levona, you cannot do that, the Yerushalmi writes, unless you are going to replace it with new lechem, because the shulchan can never go empty. It has to be lefanai tamid, because that is the source of the shefa bracha, the tosefes, the parnasa that we all receive. And therefore, the shulchan represents gemilus chasadim, just as a shulchan in your bayis is an opportunity of gemilus chasadim to share and to sustain others as well. And if I were to ask you, where do you see the importance, the primacy of the Torah session? That seems clear. No, that is the Aron and the Menorah. The Aron represents the Amud HaTorah. That certainly is clear. The Aron contains the Luchos, the Gemara, the Mabastra, either adjacent to or in the Aron, a Sefer Torah. And that's a reference to Torah Shebi'ah Sam. Where do you see a clean that represents Torah Shebal Peh? That's the Gemara, the Mabastra, and Daf Chafei. That's the Menorah, the Menorah. And therefore, if there are different chelkei haTorah, the Torah Shebitzav and the Torah Shebal Peh, you have two kelim that represent the primacy of the Torah Sashem. In a word, the kelim of Mishkan of Beis Hamikdash represent the Torah, the Avodah, Gemilus Chasadim. And if that's true of Mishkan Beis Hamikdash, that must be true of an entire world. And therefore, isn't it so clear that the world as well must rest on these pillars, these foundations, which is true in the Mikdash Hashem itself. And therefore, the mission statement has to be one of Torah, of Avoda, of Gemilus Chasadim. There's a comment that Chaim Volozhiner writes that you shouldn't think that Torah is independent. There's Torah, Avoda, and Gemilus Chasadim, and each one are independent of each other. Certainly not. The Torah informs the Avoda. The Torah informs the Gemilus Chasadim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes that maybe Koda Matan Torah, Avoda and Gemilus Chasadim could be intuitive. Whatever you think, for example, is a proper way of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would be appropriate. Whatever you think is considered to be an act of chesed, maybe before the Torah was given, that would be the case. But La'achar Matan Torah, certainly not. The Torah Hashem is going to define what is an act of chesed. You know, someone is in significant need of money. A bank doesn't grant them a loan. Another bank would, but you know, 10% interest. I'm going to do the guy a great chesed. I'll grant them the loan for 2% interest. Now, 1/5 of the interest rate, the going rate. I'll suffer a loss, but I'll buy the nisadaris of riches in doing so. I'll tell you, you know, isn't that a great act of chesed? Helping that person, granting him the loan that otherwise he wouldn't get? So, Chaim Volozhiner writes, Koda Matan Torah. But Lachar Matan Torah, the Torah Hashem defines Gemilus Chasadim as well. The Gemara describes in the early life of Rabbi Akiva chanced upon a Meisnitzki. And he did what he thought was an incredible act of chesed, that he carried the Meis Mitzvah on his back to the Beis HaKfaros, to a Makom Kfura, Kfuras Yisrael, only to find out afterwards that that was also, because a Meis Mitzvah is Kones Mekomo, the burial should be in that place. It should not be transferred. Seemingly, that was an act of great chesed, but Rechaim Lajner writes, no, realize, Gemilus Chasadim is going to be defined by the Torah's concept of Gemilus Chasadim. Not necessarily intuitive, Gemilus Chasadim. And the same, no doubt, is true when it comes to tefillah. That Koda Matan Torah, you know, karbanos could be offered on bamos. It was a more elastic idea of how it is that you serve HaKadosh Baruch with that sense of avoda shebalev, but lachar matan Torah, certainly not. They're hagdaros, they're dinei hatfila. Dinei hatfila. Not everything goes. There is a misgeres. There is a framework which is appropriate tefillah, and that's defined by the Torah Hashem. The Torah is going to frame not only your lima Torah, but the Torah is going to inform your avoda and your gemilus chasadim as well. And I'll tell you what I think is a further chiddush. Now, Shimon HaTzadik tells us that recognize that there are three amudim. Well, of course there are three amudim. Torah, avoda, gemilus chasadim are a total of three. Is there any chiddush of Shimon HaTzadik to tell us it's specifically three? So I would just tell you the following thought. You know, let's assume you have a four-legged table. And let's assume one leg is somewhat rickety, a little bit shorter than it should be. Let's assume a leg is missing. You know what? In life, you can compensate. You can compensate. I can invite the most prominent guest, and my table can be missing a leg. As long as I sit him on the other end, we're good to go. I'm going to sit him where the leg is missing. Not a good idea. No, but the other end, will be okay? That's true if you have a four-legged table. But if you have a three-legged pedestal, you have a tripod, you know, if any leg is not perfectly in position, the whole structure is going to collapse. Now I would challenge you to try to balance something on a tripod where one leg is a little bit shorter or a little bit longer than it should be. In other words, that the Torah Avodah B'Milas Chasadim has to be perfectly balanced, perfectly symmetrical. A person will think that, you know, I'm going to focus on Limud HaTorah at the expense of Tefillah, at the expense of B'Milas Chasadim. Certainly not. A person will say that, you know, that my chelik in the Torah Hashem is B'Milas Chasadim, and I will be deficient in areas of Limud HaTorah. Absolutely not. Now, the Chiddush of three Amudim is to bear out this particular point. And therefore, one has to recognize not simply, you know, the responsibility and the tzivui of tefillah, but the privilege of tefillah. You know, there's a comment in the very first page in Shas. You learn brachos, no? Mei Masai begins on Dav Beis, no? What's that Aleph in the Talmud Bavli? Oh, the Hagdam of Rabbeinu Nisimgam. So in the Hagdam of Rabbeinu Nisimgam, he writes that there's a category of mitzvos that are mitzvos that are dependent on svara v'umdina delay, svara v'umdina delay, that which we know, that which is self-evident. What are examples of that which is self-evident? If you look in Amunos Vedeos of Rav Sadigam, you don't learn Amunos Vedeos, look in the Or Sameh, in the very beginning of Hilchos Tefillah. Tefillah. Rav Sadigam writes, Tefillah is self-evident. Tefillah is self-evident. There's a mitzvah of tefillah, but not davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the one who bestows each and every bracha, everything that occurs is a result of nothing else than Hashkachas Hashem. Everything is considered to be a nes, which is Al Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just simply that you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah, but rather, what could be more foolish? Not to earnestly engage in tefillah. It's an achrayus, it's a mitzvah, it's a tzivui, but it's also a sense of an intense responsibility. You know, I don't know if you discussed in your earlier shiur, tefillah, is that a mitzvah daraisa? Is it a chiyu daraisa of tefillah? If you already have sefer mitzvahs, would you count tefillah as part of Targ mitzvahs? Oh, you had some shiurim on aspects of tefillah. What would you say to that question? Is tefillah daraisa? Is tefillah derabanan? Yes, counted, not counted? Maybe, good question. What do you think? Good question. Okay, that's a good answer. Let me hear.
That's who I am.
Rambam and Ramban. There is such a Rambam and Ramban. That's true. There is a Rambam and Sefer mitzvahs and mitzvah. Hey, where the Rambam counts a mitzvah d'raisa of tefillah, u'avdo b'cholavachem, ezer avodo shebalev, haviomers of tefillah. Davening once a day, each and every day. That the Rambam writes is a mitzvah d'raisa. The Ramban writes, not necessarily. Akiyum d'raisa, rechayim. Akiyum d'raisa, rechayim writes of tefillah. Of course. Akiyum d'raisa of tefillah b'chol yom, not necessarily. A privilege of davening, a kiyum daraisa, but not necessarily a daily obligation. The Ramban writes that there may be times that it's true. Any idea, suggestion, the Ramban, when tefillah is daraisa? Beis Tzara, that's a possibility, right? Based on the pasuk in Parshas Baloscha, Tzara Hatzara Estem. Would the Rambam agree that Beis Tzara there's a special kiyum of tefillah? The Rambam has a mitzvah of davening each and every day. Would the Rambam agree to that position of the Ramban, that Be'ez Tzara, there's a special mitzvah that I said tefillah? I would suggest yes. Where is that Rambam? That's a Rambam at the very beginning of Hilchos Tanias. The Rambam writes there's a separate mitzvah to daven, Be'ez Tzara. People don't always realize that, no? That the Rambam certainly agrees with the Ramban, that Be'ez Tzara, of course, there's a separate kiyum, a separate mitzvah. That's mufurish in the very beginning of Hilchos Tanias, where the Rambam writes a mitzvah daraisa of davening, which is Be'ez Tzara. There's another Ramban that tefillah some other times might be a din daraisa. Not Be'ez Tzara, but when? What about tefillah Shabbos, tefillah Santif? Is that also the Rabbanan? There's another Ramban. That Ramban's found in Parsha Zemar, in Vayikra and Perachav Gimel, where the Ramban writes that, yeah, tefillah Shabbos and Yantif, a din daraisa. Wow, a din daraisa. Where is that based on? Oh, because Yontif is described as Mikrei Kodesh. Mikrei Kodesh. What do the words Mikrei Kodesh mean? Rabban writes like Kruei Ha'eda, a time of gathering for Inyanei Kedusha. When do you do that? Rabban writes, for example, on Yontif, you gather the Kadesh Hayom B'Tfila B'Farhesya. Oh, no? That's Mikrei Kodesh. Tfila B'Farhesya. Tell you a Chiddush. Rabban writes on Yontif, if Megadim writes based on Rabban, even on Shabbos, Tfilas daraisa b'tzibur. Tfilas b'tzibur, don't dare think of sleeping in. No. Tfilas daraisa as tzibur. Unbelievable. No? That's a prima gadim in the psicha telchos tfila. That's a prima gadim in hilchos shuas. The prima gadim writes, you know, it's very common for us. Shuas night, you kind of stay up all night. You know? Davin kvasikin. In earlier times, it wasn't so common. A lot of the balabatim didn't do that. But the yeshiva guys used to do so. Like the young boys. So prima gadim writes in the very beginning of Shavuos, make sure you have a minyan daraisa for those tefillos in the early hour, because tefillah yantif is a din daraisa, Ramban, in Parshas Emor. That's an interesting chiddush. So maybe Shabbos, maybe yantif, maybe Ben Sarah, and the Rambam Shikta, that there is a mitzvah daraisa tefillah each and every day. When the Ramban tells you, ooh, the concept of tefillah daraisa, the concept of tefillah daraisa, Ramban writes the following, that part of tefillah daraisa is not only to daven, but it's a mindset. It's a mindset of dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That when we have any need to reach out, the Ramban writes, it is only Elav Levada. That's the lashon of the Ramban. You're in need, you have to reach out, you're only going to reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's part of the Din Daraisa. The Ramban writes, of tefillah. You know, the Chasima on Musaf, Yantif, Sha'osa Levadcha, B'yira Na'ava. Now, tefillah is Osa Levadcha. Only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban writes, part of the mitzvah of tefillah is Shena'amin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yishomea tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears our tefillahs. Hears our tefillahs. That's an absolute given. That's an absolute given. People might mistakenly think, you know, I doubt HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't hear my tefillah. Absolutely not. Sheker v'chazan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard your tefillah. HaKadosh heard your tefillah, and he answered your tefillah. But you know what? Sometimes your Rebbe will raise a kasha and shir. You'll give an answer. Your Rebbe will give a better answer. No, your Rebbe's Rebbe, they even have a better answer than your Rebbe. No? You have a kasha, you have what you think is a teretz, a resolution to a particular need, I'll assure you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a better answer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a better answer. And part of the chesed of tefillah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the most appropriate answer. The most appropriate answer. You know that you may have an answer. You may think that this is appropriate. But you know what? Our vision is so limited. It's presumptuous for us to think that we know what's best. Sometimes we daven. We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we think, you know what? Please grant me this particular bakasha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that that is not what would be best for you in any shape or form. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chesed, will grant you the most appropriate answer. Not because he's ignoring, not because he's not a Shomea Tvila. He's a Shomea Tvila, he's answering the Tvila in the most appropriate way. Right? You're going to daven and daven and daven for acceptance to an Ivy League school. I'm going to tell you that would be disastrous. No? You're going to think your Tvila was an answer when you reject it. You know what I'm going to tell you? That was a Kabbalah's Tvila. No? Because your life is going to be different. You position yourself. And it means Keres HaYeshiva. Things are going to be different. No? Recognize. We don't always know what the answers are. We don't have to know what the answers are towards tefillah. The Ramban writes, just believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shomea tefillah. Reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'os chalavadcha b'yiranava. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant that particular tefillah. I'll give you what I think is considered to be, right, an amazing, amazing example. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu yearned to enter Eretz Yisrael. Part of the Dinei Tefillah you're going to learn in Brachos is based on Parshas V'yischanan. No? No? Ba'olam ya'ad adam shir chosha kadosh baruch ha'vachar kach yisfalo for sheva, Kara Bakasha. Where do you see that that's true? Right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, right? V'eschan el Hashem. No? After all that, there is Sheva, followed by Bakasha, Din and Osamea. Right? Where do you find the Hodah that follows the Tefillah? Interesting. No? It's patterned after Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll tell you something really unusual. Tefillah is patterned after Moshe Rabbeinu and Parshas V'eschanam. Moshe Rabbeinu, who beseeches HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enter Eretz Yisrael and was turned down and was denied, right? Vestless, was denied vestless. And that serves as like as the basis of tefillah. You know, the Medrash Rabbah writes, this is not a Hasidish, the Medrash Rabbah writes, there's Samen B'Gamatria, right? There's Tavkuk Tezvav, 515 tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu to enter Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu was not granted. Is not granted that particular schus. Unusual, no? But Moshe Rabbeinu would walk away dejected. Moshe would walk away thinking that, you know, how fair is this? Years of service to Knesset Yisrael, a simple request, and the answer is no, 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 and no, 515 times. How could that possibly be? Moshe Rabbeinu realized. And I'll tell you a chiddush of Reb Chaim. There's a Gemara in Kedushin. Gemara in Kedushin of Chaf Beis. That let's assume a person is an Eved. He's an Eved. And he's supposed to serve for 6 complete years and then go free. But the Eved responds by saying the following, you know what? Ahavti, Esadoni, Esishti Uvanai, Oit Sechavshi. Okay. Right. I want to remain. I don't want to leave. Right. I want to remain. I love my Adon, my wife, my children. The Medrash writes, pretty stunning, that was the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ahavti Esadoni means Zekarish Baruch Hu. Zekarish Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, that, look, I've forged this relationship with you. Bel peradababam, kadal ish l'reyeinu. That's the kesher Moshe Rabbeinu had with Zekarish Baruch Hu. Es ishti. The Medrash writes, Zeha Torah. No, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was makabal the Torah Hashem. As Banai, Abbas Yisrael, who son of Abbas Yisrael, the Medrash writes more than Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Medrash. Now, in Dvarim, that was the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And I'll tell you a secret. That tefillah could have gotten Moshe Rabbeinu into Eretz Yisrael. Could have. There's one hitch. Now, what exactly does the pasuk say when it comes to Eved Ivri? Im Amor Yomar HaEved. What does that exactly mean? If the Eved says and then reiterates and then repeats, Gemara Kedushin Daf Chafei Zad Shiyomar V'Yishne. In order for an Eved to remain an Eved, for his wish to be granted, he has to make that request and he has to Ad Shiyomar V'Yishne. He has to reiterate that request. You have to reiterate that request. And sometimes you put things out, no duplicate. No? You have to state it. No, you're going to put your password in. No? You have to make sure it's really correct. So you're called upon to reinforce. No? To reiterate. Im Amor Yomar an Eved. An Eved has to reiterate that claim in order for the wish to be granted. So Moshe Rabbeinu said that, you know, that Ahavti Yisadoni Ishti Vana Loitzei Chavshi. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that all he had to do to enter Eretz Yisrael was to repeat this request one more time. Just repeat. Could have gotten in? No. But what does the pasuk say? Kadosh Baruch Hu asks Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Tosef, Madam Leo Bedor Hazan. Don't say anything more. Don't repeat. If you would do so, that wish would be granted. Chiddush Reb Chaim, no? You think of Reb Chaim, you think of the two halachos and the longest, ooh, what a hashkaf, no? Moshe Rabbeinu could have entered, Reb Chaim says. Could have entered. All he had to do was repeat. Ahavti yasadinei shevayi zechoshi. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, please don't. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't repeat that bakasha. You know why? That's, if you want to see this inside, Kovet Shiurim Maseches Kedushin Nos Kuflamadeis. Kuflamadeis. Take a look, right? Chiddush Amar Al Diskin and Chiddush Reb Chaim Diskin. You know why? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that all of those tefillos were used and were needed for the sake of Klal Yisrael, to secure us, to protect us throughout our history and our identity. And therefore, now Moshe Rabbeinu realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't. Because let those tefillos be used, let them be channeled to protect Knesset Yisrael throughout all of their stay and all of the years of Golos. And Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, preferred that I could get in. But if there's an opportunity for those tefillos to be used for the sake of Knesset Yisrael, you know, that's a better Kabbalah tefillah. That's a better reason. That's a better kiyum of Shomea Tefillah. And therefore, that serves as a basis of all of our tefillah as well. Just because you don't get the answer that you think is most appropriate, rest assured, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely, absolutely Shomea Tefillah. It's important always, always to realize that. Not only the mitzvah of davening, the privilege of davening. I would tell you that's why, you know, have you learned the Sugyos and Brachos as of yet about Tefillah's harvest, the relationship of Mariv and Kriya Shema? I'll tell you a very beautiful Chiddush that I heard from Sarajevo. And then I'll tell you a little bit of a Hashkaf that I think emanates from this. Tosus is Dalit. Tosus and Brachos Dab Dalit. Did you, those who bring Brachos, did you get there yet? Brachos and Dab Dalit. Tosus Megillah Dav Chav Gimel. Tosus is bothered by a fascinating kasha. Now, why is it that Kaddish is placed differently in Shachris than it is in Maariv? The Rambam tells us, interesting Kiddush, that Shmoneh Esrei always has to be preceded by a Kaddish. That's called a Kaddish Amascha. You begin with Kaddish. So Tosus is bothered that why is it that when it comes to Shachris, the Kaddish is not immediately prior to Shmoneh Esrei? Oh, well, before, after Yishtabach, Kriya Shema, Shmoneh Esrei. Okay. When it comes, however, to Maariv, that's not true. Right there, the Kaddish is right before Shmoneh Esrei, in between Kriya Shema and Shmoneh Esrei. Why exactly is that true? I mean, Kaddish seemingly should be immediately before the Shmoneh Esrei itself, right? So Tosfos writes very simply, Shachris is a chov. Right? The Sugyin Brachos Daf Chav Zayin, right? Arvis is Rishus. So since Arvis is Rishus, so therefore the Kaddish can be later. What exactly does that mean? So I'll tell you just the simple explanation of Tosfos. That Shachris is a chov, so you can't interrupt between Gul and Tefillah, right? You can't interrupt. No, I'll tell you, Magen Avraham. It's Rosh Chodesh. You want everybody to say Yalav Yav on Shmoneh Esrei, right? So what do you do in Shachris? Clap. Good? You bang. Good? Why don't you just say Yalav Yav? Say Yalav Yav. You can't be Mafsik and Gula Tefillah. In Maariv, Magen Avraham writes, you can say Yalav Yav. Because Tefillah's Arvis is Rishus, and therefore there's more wiggle room when it comes to Dinei Hefsek. So Sarach HaTefillah, you don't have to be so ambiguous and clap, but just you can say Yalav Yavo. The minhag in my shul is that we announce Yalav Yavo in Maariv. We don't announce it in Shachris. Different practices now, because Maariv Tefillah's Arvis is Rishus. So therefore, there's more wiggle room. So you also Tefillah's Arvis is Rishus. You have a little bit more leeway. Good? Sounds reasonable. I'll tell you what Rav Slavitch said. This is like amazing. You ready? Give me the background. You ready? Good. Okay. Right. This is something you'll hopefully appreciate. Good. Kriya Satora Deshavas. You have seven aliyas. Then you have Mafta, right? Is Mafta the same as the seven aliyas? Not really, no. The seven aliyas are part of the mitzvah sayon, the chuba sayon. Seven aliyas, right? Mafta like is above and beyond. What's that called? A hosafa. Mafta really is a hosafa. Above and beyond. If you couldn't have hosafa, let's say three way of fasting. So maftir is shlishi. It's not 3+. Not three plus. Maftir is the last aliyah. On Shabbos, you can have at times hosafos. Maftir, Tosus writes, is a hosafa. It's an extra aliyah. So you have seven aliyahs that you must. And you have maftir, which is a hosafa. So Tosus writes, this wasn't always the minhag, but we're so used to this, we don't even know of any other minhag. What do you do before maftir? You say Kaddish. Why? Because Tosfos writes the following Kiddush. You just finished the obligation, the chiyuv, the seven aliyahs. And now you're proceeding with laughter, which is only a rishos. So it's necessary to interject with a kaddish. Rav Slavetcher coined the following term, a kaddish hamafsik. Sometimes kaddish is a signal that you're transitioning. You're shifting gears. This isn't seamless, right? You were doing this, and now you're doing that. So what you did up until now, all these aliyahs on Shabbos, that was the chiyuv. Now you're repeating what you already learned as an extra hosafa. In order to demonstrate that shift, you have a kaddish. A kaddish indicates a transition, going from the shiva kruin, which is a chiyuv, to the aliyah mafti, which is really a rishus, which is hosafa. No, so you heard it here. No, a kaddish hamafsik. A kaddish hamafsik. That's why it wasn't always the minute. We always have kaddish before mafti. A kaddish hamafsik. Good? Rav Slavetcher said, that's what Tosfos means. That's what Tosfos means. That's unbelievable, no? Kriya Shema of Shachris is a chova. Shmona Esrei of Shachris is a chova. Ah, that's seamless. Mariv. Kriya Shema is a chiv daraisa. Shmona Esrei is only a rishos. Ooh, but you can't go seamlessly from a Kriya Shema Daraisa to a Shmona Esrei, which only rishos. That's like going from the Shiva Kruim to a Maftir. What do you need between the Shiva Kruim and a Maftir? You need a Kaddish. That, looks like it suggests it's a Shat and Tosis, no? That's why you have a Kaddish in Marv before Shmona Esrei. And you don't when it comes to your Shachris. Not just simply that, you know what, that Marv is a little more lenient, so therefore, what's wrong with interrupting? No, not you may interrupt. You must interrupt. You must have that type of opportunity. So I'll tell you this. Shachris, Mincha, Kriyashma, Chov, Marav is only Rishus. Why in the world does Torah have Devar Rishus? Why do we have Devar Rishus? That's a kasha beside. Why do you have Devar Rishus? You know, there's some karbanos you must offer. Other karbanos up to you. No. There's certain parshas in the Torah that you must, other parshas that you may. It's discretionary. Even certain mitzvahs, you have to give truma, but how much? Really up to you. No. Why do you have divrei rishus? Why do you have discretionary acts? Let me ask you the question this way. If it's really important, it should be necessary, it should be mandated, it should be a chiyuv, right? What, Shabbos is discretionary? Like, if it's really important, you must. And if you're going to tell me, not so important, so why include it? Why include it? What's the status of Divrei Rishus? If it's really important to do it, to offer this carbon adava, so let the Torah say you must. And if it's not so important, so why have it at all? So the Stifler writes, in Berachas Peretz, in Parshas Emor, such a beautiful Kiddush, that if a person in life only does what he must, and never opts in to go beyond that which is absolutely vital, he will never develop a real sense of Ahavas Hashem. The way you develop a sense of true love is not doing only that which you must. It's demonstrating that above and beyond, I'm not just doing this because I must. I'm not just davening Shachris Mincha because I must. You know what my best indicator is? Because I'm pretty careful about Tefillah Arvis as well. And Tefillah Arvis is only a Rishus. And if somebody's going to ask your friend, like, why in the world are you davening Maariv? No? So the answer is not going to be, I have a choice. I'm going to be punished if I don't. You're right, the Rambam writes for us today, Shukar Shevilat Techova, Halachos Gedolos, but Mikar Adin, why should that be true? You're going to the Beis HaMikdash and you're offering a carbon, an Olas Nedava. Why are you doing so? The answer is not, I must, you must. You don't have to do so at all. The answer is, what do you mean? This is a kesher with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is a privilege. This is not an obligation. And the more that you engage in Divrei Rishus, the closer you're going to become to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because if all you do is that which you must, not a minute more than what the yeshiva is going to insist on, right? Because, well, you know, if I don't do this, you know, I'm going to really get caught, so therefore, you know, I'll get by. All of a sudden, you find yourself doing a little bit more, above and beyond. That speaks volumes in terms of who you are. It's the discretionary divrei rishus that very often will define your avodas Hashem and shed incredible light on even that which you're obligated to. I'm not just davening because I must, because, you know, I also do A, B, C, and D. And sometimes it's those discretionary exceptions that prove the rule. That, I will tell you, is critically and critically. You're zochet to be in an incredible environment of growth and avodah session. As I began with the sense of Torah avodah v'ilus v'sadah, but have to be that which is paramount. Tefillah is an incredibly important component. Recognize that. There's a Gemara Nidadav, Ayin Wadeis, Ma Yasa Odom V'yechkan. What should a person do in order really to become a Talmid Chacham? You want to really master Maseches Sanhedrin, no? Master Maseches Brachos. How do you do it? How do you do it? So first the Gemara says that Yarba B'Yeshiva, you really have to walk the walk. You have to put in the time. It's not going to happen without Hasmada. It's not going to happen without Amelos. You really have to sit and learn with intensity of Hasmada, that Yarba B'Yeshiva. So the Gemara is something astounding. Harbe Asu, Blow Saviyadam. There are many guys that did that. They really learned an awful lot, and they were not zoche to great Chachmas HaTorah. The Gemara says because there's another component. That component is tefillah. Yevakesh mimi shachachma shalom. You have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for siyata d'shmayim. And the Gemara concludes, ha, b'lo ha, lo sani. That neither one by itself is sufficient. Both are necessary. Both are necessary. A person just davens, he's not going to know Masechta Sanhedrin. Guess what? A person just learns, he's not going to know Masechta Sanhedrin. You want to know the Masechta? Ha, b'lo ha, lo sani. You have to learn the Masechta very well. You have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for intensity of siyata d'shmaya. I just mentioned as I walked in, you're doing a sugya of Shnayim Shedanu. Not such a simple sugya, no? Whether Dineihem Din, any Dineihem Din, such a Stira Saramba, no? A Stira Saramba? I was always misspelled because if the Chiddush Aran, Chiddush Aran writes, and he's shocked that the Ravid is not Masig. It's interesting, no? That's a really difficult Rambam in that sugya, no? And the Ravid is okay with it, right? That's interesting. What can you read into the fact that the Ravid is silent? No, but it's a Chiddush Aran, and that's again Sanhedrin, no? Like, how do you resolve those difficulties in the Rambam? No, you know how you're going to figure it out? By being nishtadel and being nisfal. Tefillah alone is not going to do it, but guess what? Your nishtadel is not going to do it. You need both. You need both. Tefillah is not an independent amud. It's going to inform your sense of avodah zarah. What I will tell you is this. For those of you who can remain here, you stay. You stay shana bet. You stay shana gimel. Stay as long as you can. Immerse yourself in the Torah session. Probably for the vast majority of you, at the end of that stay, you'll be returning to Chutz Laaretz. You have to seek an environment which is going to be conducive to that continued growth. After all, that your job here is not to plateau. Your job here is simply to try to get your feet wet in order to begin to soar in the Torah session. And make sure that you're in a seamless, a wholesome environment that is going to be conducive to Ma Yasa Odom V'yefka. I can tell you that in our yeshiva, there is a harmony, there's a seamlessness between everything that you're going to do. Everything you're going to do. You know, I often mention that if you're in a biology class, the biology class will be taught by a frum professor, who you'll find in the Beis Medrash, who will begin biology with the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. Ezu Yihaderech Lavasu Lirasa. That's class one of biology, by a renowned biologist. No? That was like very, very meaningful. No? That's something that informs, right, what it is that we do. B'chol Drecheha Da'eihu. If you decide to major in a particular field, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer, you want to be a businessman, we won't allow you to graduate. We won't allow you to get a diploma until you take an entire semester's worth of shiurim in all of the halachos of Yudisa. So we won't allow you to go ahead and to graduate as a pre-med, unless you've done some. Many of those classes are taught by Rabbi Afel. I think Rabbi Afel is pretty close. Rabbi Afel, I think, holds the record of being my shiur for 8 years. So he gives those many of those shiur. Like, it's real. It's real. You want to be a psychologist? It's not simple to be a former psychologist. Now, the tension is enormous. Enormous. What is accepted behavior in society today, and what is hashkafas hatorah? You're not going to be able to graduate unless you have an entire zman of shiurim and how it is that you balance as a from psychologist. And the nisyonos of business are huge. And onah, ribis, gneva's das, these are the things we're going to teach you in addition to, because this is a mindset, this is a mission statement. This is something that to us is really, really important. We never view any of these amudim as being independent. The Torah that you learn is going to inform a lifestyle of gemilas chasadim. The Torah is going to inform your sense of avodas Hashem. The avodas Hashem is going to inspire you to be able to learn more and to be a better gomo chesed. So for those of you who would like, as mentioned, that Rabbi Nathan and I will be here to be able to speak with you. We can speak in learning, we can speak in hashkafa, we can speak